And it's so important because there's so many things out in the world that distract us and turn us away from God. And that's what we're trying to do, is live for Him and understand our place in Christ and understand that there is an anointing. When God knows that you're at your weakest, that's when He's there. And sometimes we have to wait to that point because in our pride, it's very easy. Well, I'll do this. I'll persevere. I'll make this happen. Well, when that happens, we're not really relying on Christ. We're relying on our own gifts and our own understanding. And that's the problem. We don't want to stand on those things. Earlier, Johnny was praying when we were over in the corner, and he said something, and the first thing that came to my mind is Christ is a foundation. In Corinthians, it talks about there is no other foundation that is found except for Christ. No other foundation can be laid except the foundation that is Christ. And what that means is everything else is built on that. And if you know anything about a foundation, it's very important. It's where everything, you know, sits on for a house. We built a Better Homes and Gardens Home of the Year in, I think, 95 when I was there in Nashville. The guys who did the foundation were off by 2 inches from one side to the other. Now, when you're off by a half inch, it's okay. You can kind of work with that. But at 2 inches, what started happening, the walls started going up and floors were being laid. And suddenly they realized, wow, we have issues. Well, it all was because of the foundation was bad. Not that it was broken or anything, it just wasn't level like it should have been. But in Christ, He brings that leveling to our hearts and our minds and helps us to understand that. And I know God has a word for us today because He's been speaking to me before I ever got here and while I was here and changing direction, because He is God. He knows what we need. We need to rely on Him so much that when He moves to the right, we move. When He moves to the left, we move. It's an understanding that we can't do it on our own. I'm going to read this passage. This is James 1:12. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love Him. Let's pray. Father God, I ask that You would just help us to hear Your word, help us to learn from it, to understand Your ways, Father God. Your ways are so much higher than ours. Our ways are sometimes pitiful, Father God, but it's that pride sometimes that helps us to keep away and do our own thing. Help us today to break down those walls of pride. Help me, Lord God, to hear this word and understand it along with my brothers and sisters here. In Jesus' name, amen. Is this a test? Something Pastor Tinberg, a mentor of mine, really talked about. He said, "Are you think you're being tested?" He said, "You are every day." You know, we are. God is wanting to work in our lives each and every day. The problem is sometimes we want to do things our way, in our understanding. And sometimes we really have to pray and seek God. No one can tell you sometimes. The Holy Spirit has to make it real to you where you realize, you know what, this is a crossroads. What do I do? Do I go to the left, to the right? Do I go forward? The understanding is that we need to trust God. And it seems to be the theme throughout everything that I've spoken on here, trusting. And I think it's because we need that. It's very easy to try to be eloquent and fancy, if I could say that. But the thing is it's more important to hear God's word and to understand where He's bringing us, where He's bringing this congregation. You know, it's really important to know that. The Greek word translated trial also means temptation. Many interpreters feel that James suddenly changes the meaning of the word to that tempting in verses 13 and 14. He now uses the verb form. Old Testament Theology clearly affirms that God subjects people to tests to confirm their faith. Recall God's directive to Abraham to make Isaac a human sacrifice. You know, some people won't understand that, but you do it with your kids and your family. You want them to do better. You know, if your kid is doing bad in math, I would hope, instead of saying, well, good job, help them. You want the best for them. You want them to do good in school. You want them to do good in their life, to understand, Johnny, you can't knock these kids over. You can't punch them. It doesn't work. It's not the right way. Well, just as a good father understands us and has a relationship with us, he wants us to be the same way. He wants us to be able to turn our hearts. And that's what worship's about. It's very important when we come into worship, what we're doing, what the worship team is doing, is bringing us into God's throne room. That's what you have to imagine. When we're worshiping, we're just being brought into God's throne room. And Lord, shine that light on me. Help me to see the things that are wrong and help me to change it. But bringing glory to you. See, that's what worship is about. Giving God the glory. Understanding that everything we do is for his glory. Because in the end, he blesses you because of that. Not because you sent in your $99 for the first 3 months or whatever it might be to gain God's favor. That's okay if you feel like you need to do that, but that's not how God gives you favor. He gives you favor when you have an open heart. And when you have 99 cents, that's all you have, you throw it in a bucket and, Lord, that's all I have. Help me. Help me. It's not about money anyways. It's about our heart and understanding the things of God. Understanding that foundation. The reason a foundation is so important that it has to be Jesus is because everything stands on that. Everything in this world. If you look at the news and think about things, I had to turn off the news this morning for Chicago. All it talked about was death. One after another. And I finally said, I understand that's what's happening, but I need to get my heart and mind in another place, because that's a wrong place to be all the time. Just to focus on what's wrong. That's why when we come in to God's presence, we want to open up our heart. We want to see things as he sees, not as we see. Because our vision is bad, and I'm not talking about not being able to see well. I'm talking about in our hearts. Our vision can be bad because we have a wrong understanding of what life is. And we all do at times. It's okay to have fun and do well in life, but sometimes we have to make the choice to turn to God and say, I can't do this. And it should be all the time. These last 3 weeks, I've been out on the road for my job, and it has been grueling. Literally at times driving from one place to another 2 to 3 hours, getting there and then going across Missouri back in another way. And I thought at one point it gets overwhelming. And when it did, I finally said, God got me in the right place. Lord, I give it to you. I can't make it. I can't do these things. But when I turn to Christ, suddenly the peace comes. Suddenly I realize I'm not doing it on my own. And I don't have to rely on myself. That's the thing. We have to have that relationship and understand that, yes, it is a test, but it's a test where the teacher comes by and says, the answer for 4 is B. not trying to just test you to knock you down, but to test you to help you, to understand that there's a relationship built beyond the test. An understanding, again, of who God is. An understanding that in Christ we're made to obey him and to seek his will, and not obey like a slave, but obey as a brother, you know, to obey as people who know him. You know, that's why when I go to someone's house and they're doing something, can I help? You know, it's because I want to show that I care what they've done. And a lot of times, no, don't worry about it. Go sit down. But you want to be a part of it. You want to help them. Well, how much more does God want to help us? Each day we go through trials and tribulations, and we really have to understand that, that it's really turning to Christ. And again, this is interesting because this is taking a different route than what I thought I was going this morning. So it would be incorrect to say that God himself tests nobody. It is altogether proper, however, to retain the meaning of testing and to render the passage as follows. When a person is testing himself, he must not say, I am being tested by God, for God is not liable to testing with reference to evil. And he himself does not cause testing in anyone, but each man in testing himself, that's the key, testing himself, not that God is testing you, allows himself to be hooked and dragged away by his own deep desires. That's where the study and the time in prayer and seeking God helps us understand, again, our relationship with God, and that we have to turn to him, because it's very important. It's so easy in this life to turn to our own ways. It is. And as we have noted, James is writing to believers who were in the midst of great suffering. They were in a terrible place. Much of the suffering was in the form of persecution. These people, having come to faith in Christ, were being attacked, ostracized. They were just having a terrible time. But it's interesting, too. It's when you're in the valley, everything's good. Nice and cool. The breeze is good. The river is perfectly clear. And then you start going up, and suddenly there's no greenery because it's a harsher area. That's sometimes what happens to us in our lives. You know, we go through that. But see, that's the times when you could really turn to Christ and find, you know what, Lord, I can't do this. And he's going, that's where I need you. When you could say, I can't do it on my own, is where Christ says, that's where I've been trying to get you this whole time. Because it's so easy to think that we can do things on our own. And we can't. None of us. And I'm talking about myself too. This is not to knock anybody. Anybody who thinks that they have it all together, watch out. Because your eyes have been blinded a bit. You know. But if you say, I have it together because I trust Christ every day. I turn things to him. I give him the glory for the good things and even the bad things that happen. You know, that's one thing. I understand that people have issues and problems and sometimes deaths in the family that we don't understand. We wonder why. Why did that have to happen? Well, God knows I don't, but I know I can trust him through that. Things that bring you just great pain because you wonder, why did that have to happen? More than anything, ask God, help me to trust you. Help me to turn to you, not to use my own understanding. You know, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. See, the problem is sometimes we have this idea, if we do our little thing and this and that, everything's perfect. You know what? It's a constant road. It's not just in the morning or at noon or whatever. Constantly, Christ is in our lives. What we say matters. How we act matters. And that's the foundation that helps people to see who Christ is. And that's the glory. All glory goes to God when that happens. You know, again, I don't know who I'm speaking to. I'm speaking to myself. I know for one thing, this touches my heart and makes me think. But it's very easy. The best way to describe it is if you have a good student, you don't make them do less. You push them because that's how you make them do better. Suddenly you break yourself out of that box, and that's what God is trying to do through Christ. It's so easy to think, well, I did my 5 minutes of prayer. That's fine. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not talking about a time. But what I'm saying is in a relationship, it's a constant. I know for myself, I'm constantly praying, not all every day, all the time. But it's an attitude in your heart where you know, God, I can't do this. But I can't worry about that. If I trust you, You will get it done in a way that I don't know how. And I've had to do that for 3 weeks because it's been so crazy busy, literally just going nuts. And I, you know, the last 3 days I had to just stop working after working a full day, because I was basically working 4 or 5 hours a night on the computer, sending stuff in that needed to be done. And at one point, when you realize you're not thinking right and you can't make things process the way they should, you stop and say, God, I need your help. And it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing to be weak at times, because we don't understand. In weakness, we become strong in Christ. You know, that's the key to it. And again, to me, this is very interesting this morning, because this is not where I thought this was going, but it's fine. It goes along with it, but God kind of got me on another path. James 1:2-4. Consider it great joy, my brothers, whenever you experience various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. But endurance must do its complete work, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Lacking nothing. Who considers it great joy when you go through those things? Probably none of us, you know. But see, it's another time where we realize, I can't do it. And again, that's where Christ says, that's exactly where I need you. When you think you have it all together is the times where God can't speak to you and to me. You know, I have to understand that in my life. It's not about what I've did or done. It's about, let's pray. Let's turn it to Christ. That's why worship, I mention this a lot, because it's very true. And the worship team does a great job of bringing us into God's presence. And we need that, because we need to let all the junk from that week, from this week that just passed, fade away. Lord, we give you glory. We honor you through these songs. We turn our hearts back to you. That's what worship is about, changing our attitudes. Because it's very easy to be the same. It's very easy to have the same attitude. And once you break out of one box and suddenly it expands 10 feet, and God says, okay, now the next test begins. But it's not a bad thing. Again, you would do it for your children. You know, you would expect more. You know, little Dave, go and pick up that coat. I'm not going to do it. You're going to do it. It's not because little Dave is, you know, we're being mean to him. That's what you would want to do. You want them to learn. When he's an older gentleman, you know, in his teens, that he would go and open the car for his mom or for his girlfriend and understand the things of God. You know, a lot of people don't do that. They don't understand. And it's not just about opening a car. It's the attitude of the heart to understand that there's a deeper relationship we can have. Maturity leads to a closer walk with God. When you're mature, it's an understanding that now you know what's better. You know, you don't do these things. You don't act this way. You don't say these things. You know, it's amazing if you're around somebody and they just blurt something out like, wow, really? But, you know, that's maturity. This is something I've learned. Sometimes I just need to shut up. You know, it's very easy. I tell the story about my daughter in the middle of the game. The coach's kid got the ball all the time and wouldn't do anything and would hog it all the time. And finally at the end, when they were, all they needed was 1 point to win. And without thinking, I said, pass the ball! I mean, I said it louder than that. And everybody in the gymnasium looked at me and I thought, oh, what an idiot I am. I didn't know. But you know, you learn sometimes, think those things. Don't always say them. You know, what you say might, you know, be the wrong thing. But it's also, too, the idea that who really cares if they win or lose? She had fun. You know, she really did. So she didn't sit there and say, man, that ruined my whole year. She was like, hey, let's go out for ice cream or something. That's all she cared about. You know, it didn't matter. My heart was in the wrong place. I just didn't. But I wanted the best for her, but obviously it wasn't the best what I did. But again, it's an understanding. Now, James' first words about their suffering may very well have taken them by surprise. I would imagine, I would imagine, count it all joy when you go through trials and tribulations and suffering. Really? I need to count it joy. You know what? You do. It's an understanding again of trusting the God who made everything. Sometimes we forget about that. We worry about little things that mean nothing, and then God has to bring us back to reality. We're going through something and we think, man, this is the worst day of my life, and then you hear someone else that maybe lost somebody or something worse, and like, wow, I don't have it so bad. It's a matter of perspective, and I think that's where God is constantly trying to move us towards his perspective, his understanding, his ways. We don't understand it. We don't know why these things work out the way they do. But that's where we trust him and understand. How could he say such a thing? Talking about James, it was because of his firm conviction that their suffering was not meaningless. This is the understanding and idea that God is in the midst of your life. Whether you like it or not sometimes. Thank God for a pushy father that comes in and says no. We think of everything as yes. Everything is yes, Lord. Sometimes he needs to tell us, no, you don't need to do that. And sometimes it's interesting. You have your own thoughts and ways. I know I do. And I'm thinking, God, this is perfect. And suddenly in prayer, no, that's not for you. Really? Everything seemed to line up perfectly. I said, no, I have a better plan for you. I have a better understanding of your life than you do. And see, that's the key, is God knows our hearts. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows exactly what's going to happen in your life and what you need. And see, that's the understanding of who a great God is. Not that he's testing you because he's being mean, because he loves us so much. He wants the best from us. He wants us to be salt and light. We think about how can God change the world? Through us. Through us. The Holy Spirit moves and tells you to say something, and you don't even know. You just answered someone's question without even knowing it. And they're thinking, wow, how do I get through life? And suddenly you say something that ministers to them, and they're not even a Christian, but they understand there's something there. There's something there more than what I can see. And see, that's what people need to understand. God is involved in everyone's life, even people who don't love him. He loves them. He cares for them so much that he's working towards bringing them close to him. That's the key. We can't think of how God does things in terms of man. We have to think in terms of what does a great God who sees everything, how is he doing things? Sometimes we don't know. But when we trust and we hold steadfast to what we know and what we believe, we understand, Lord, you'll get me through this. I don't know how, but I know you've got a better plan. It's tough sometimes. Anybody that says being a Christian is easy is crazy. A friend of mine had a Bible study. He was a drug dealer and a drug user. And he says, it's easy to be a drug dealer and a drug user. It is the hardest thing to be a Christian. He said, it was so hard for me. He said, sometimes I feel like I'm failing left and right. That's because the good father is saying, I need more from you. I want to help you. I want you to grow beyond that. The hard thing is we want to stay the same. I know I do. It's very easy to have the wrong attitude. And again, I'm preaching to myself right now. I'm getting convicted. And that's a good thing because it's very easy to say, oh, this is for these guys. No, this is for me. This speaks right to my heart and what I should be doing. Suffering is still the subject when we come to the verses of our passage. As we examine these verses, we can see James making three points, very important. Trial demands wisdom. Wisdom from God, not from us. Wisdom demands prayer. That's where you have an understanding that you can't do it on your own. And prayer demands faith. We have faith because we don't know how it's going to work out. But we know God has taken care of us in the past. We know that without always knowing exactly what His plan is, He has a plan. He knows exactly what you need, and it's going to be different for each person. Every walk in life as a Christian, everything is going to be just different because we're all at different places. But see, that's where God brings it together as a body. It all works together. You know, the worship team this morning did a great job just bringing us into God's presence. That's all they need to do. They don't need to do anything more than that. And then, you know, Dewey had a word that was, it was a great word to me. It really spoke to my heart. He's hearing from God. And then this morning, the word God has given. And it's not because of me. I can't say anything that what I do is great, but I know that I serve a great God. That's the key. He is a great God, and He can work in these things when I can't see it. He can change things that I can't see. And that's the key to it. That's what faith is. Faith is the promise of things hoped for, the things not yet seen. We can't see them. But sometimes we pray for those things, like for our kids. Lord, help the situation. Help whatever. I don't know about you, but when your child hurts, it hurts you, right? It hurts. I know one time my daughter got hurt. Man, I almost started crying because I thought, man, I don't want her to go through that. But she did, and it was all okay, and we went through it. But that's the same thing with God. He's there. He is the good, good Father who says, man, I'm sorry you're going through this, but I'm right here. You know, I'm just going to be there. And, you know, that's the key to it, is just knowing that God is there all the time, understanding that He has such a great plan for us. One of the things a pastor shared at a class one time, he was talking about a situation, and it was really bad. And because in his community, they got very involved with community activities, helping, being a part of that community, when this bad thing happened, when they went to the hospital to talk to the families, they said, come right on in. Come right in. Nobody else, they wouldn't let them in. This pastor and his staff, they let right in there because they knew where his heart was. And because of what he did and what he understood in his life, he knew that he could be a part of that to help. And you know what he told me? He said, Roger, his Pastor Mike Massey, he said, the only reason I was able to do anything was because I just listened. I didn't sit there and throw scripture out. I didn't explain why God was doing this, because you can't. But what he did say, I was able to comfort people and just hold them. Can I get you some coffee? You know, do you guys need lunch? Let me go get you lunch. You know, because you forget when you're in the midst of something crazy, oh, I haven't eaten for 10 hours. I'm wondering why I'm twitching here. You know, but he took the time, and all he did was make himself available. And if they wanted, hey, I'm going to leave now, guys. Do you want to pray? Yeah, that'd be great. You know, but he understood. To me, what I got out of that is he knew he couldn't do anything on his own, and he didn't have to. He was like the Holy Spirit coming into that hospital that just gives some peace. He understood that anything he could say really didn't mean a lot. But when he has the right attitude and heart, see, that's the thing we don't understand sometimes. We don't understand that that's why God is testing us. He's drawing us to maturity so that we can be the salt and light of this world. That's how God does things. It's not going to be through anything else except through us. We forget that as the body. That's what the body of Christ is about, is we're His hands and feet. We're the ones that move forward. We're the ones that comfort. We're the ones that show that kindness. And now we do it because we're just trying to do the best we can. But see, then the Holy Spirit gets involved and it gets much deeper. They see things and know things. Man, I don't know what it was, but everything, you know, you said just ministered to me. Well, that definitely wasn't me. You know, I'm a big dummy. I tell myself that only because it, well, in a good way, because my pride, well, oh yeah, oh man, that was good, wasn't it? Well, I just blew it all out the door. Because now I'm taking the pride on them, you know, and doing things on my own. When we understand we shouldn't do that, and when we give God the glory, it makes a big difference. It makes a huge difference. And that's why I believe Christ, through the Holy Spirit, is testing us at times. Because it brings us closer to Him. It's not a test that you can't overcome. But that's where sometimes, you know, it's not even like anything you could see. I just sometimes have to say, God, I can't do this. Very simple. God, I can't do this. Help me with it. And that's when I just pray. Because I know I can't make things happen. I cannot make things happen in this world, but I know the God who does. I know the God who understands that and knows that He has a plan for me that's much greater than what I can see. And see, that's the thing. As children of God, we need to understand we are the hands and feet so that we can comfort. We can give peace to people. Because see, once you're close like that, it talks about in Romans, it was talking about Christ drawing close. And when I read it, one of the commentaries said, it's like as if you have a Band-Aid on your arm, tight as can be. That's how God is with you. That's how close He is to you. Well, that really spoke to me because that makes sense. It's you can't get any closer than being right on your arm. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He says, I know you can't do it. And now that you've acknowledged that, let's get to business. Let's get to work. James 1, 5-8. Now, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God. That's the hardest thing, again, what we're talking about. If you lack wisdom, you ask God. Don't figure things out. Well, what if I did this? What if I did that? Stop. Lord, I need your help. I need your wisdom. I don't know what to do. That's when he says, okay, now we can work. Now we can make things happen. I learned carpentry when I was younger, and one thing that happened was I would put the molding up, we'd have to cut it, and it was off a little. Guy said, take it off. Man, it's only like an eighth of an inch. Take it off, do it again. He was trying to teach me. There's a better way. Don't compromise. You messed up, Roger. You know, you didn't do it right. Do it again. Not because he was a bad guy. He was teaching me the right way. You know, you should take pride in what you do and understand that there's a better way to do it. The more you compromise, the easier it gets to be like that all the time. And see, that's how the same thing with God. He's always constantly working in us, moving in our lives. But let him ask in faith without doubting, for the doubter is like the surging sea driven and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. An indecisive man is unstable in all his ways. Not a few, but all his ways. All your ways. It's very easy. Again, God's a good God. He's watching out for us. He just wants the best for us. And sometimes that maturity is really saying no. You know, well, I want this to happen. Not yet. I'm working on it. See, the Holy Spirit, like, we have to realize He is in control. He is doing things that God has commanded. He's moving in ways that we can't see. And instead of us trying to figure it out, let's get in that flow. He's moving this way. Oh, he's moving this way now. Where should I go? I would say go where the Holy Spirit goes, where He touches you, where He gives you wisdom to do that. Something that might be very important in your life, suddenly God will make it like, why did I think that would be good? Why did I think wasting all that money on something like this would really help? Because we lack wisdom, you know. We doubt God. We doubt the ways that He wants to help us and assure us. And again, it's for all of us, you know. It's for all of us. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. God wants to work in your life, and the more you understand that, it's a better understanding of life. You know, there's some things, Johnny, before we talked about a little bit about quantum physics and that, and I like looking at stuff like that. I think when I was younger, if I didn't turn out such a bad kid, I would have probably got into something like that, seriously, because I like it. But that's another story. But the idea is to think about things, because to be honest, it's the same way as in quantum physics that it is in Christ. You start to see an issue, understand the principles of what's going on, and then you draw Christ in. What does His word say? Well, He said He would never leave me nor forsake me, even though I feel lonely sometimes. Sometimes you have to have the faith to say, God, I know You're here. Because the enemy will say, you know, you're alone. Nobody likes you. Nobody cares about you. That is not the conviction of the Holy Spirit. That is the enemy. Because He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Christ comes to give us life and more abundantly. He teaches us as a good father does. As a good carpenter. No, Roger, don't cut there. Do this. And then there's a little back cut that'll look better at the end. That's one thing we used to do is some guys would, at the end of the molding, they just cut it straight. So at the ends, it's just flat. Really what you should do is do a back cut on a 45, and it's hard because it takes a little bit of skill. But anyways, once you get that little piece that's at a 45 on both sides, you stick it on the end and it looks perfect. You know, it takes more effort. But see, that's what God is doing. He's trying to give us an idea of how to live our lives, how to understand His ways, how to know what to do in the midst of all these problems. Because it's tough. It's very tough. You know, Pastor Escamilla, one time a friend of mine was speaking, and he talked about the idea of, you know, some women were around, and one lady says, oh, I prayed, and I went to the mall, and man, God gave me a parking spot right in the front. You know, and then the woman next to her said, my son just died. You know what I'm saying? We forget a parking spot is okay, and that's that's nice that you got that, but that's not the most important thing. And it's very easy for all of us, me included, to have the wrong idea of what life is. I like to see people, even people who are very mean. And I had a guy on one of my things basically knock everything and say, oh, no disrespect to you, but he was basically disrespecting me and everything I stood for. And he said it about four or five times. You know what I did? I just smiled. Do I really need to let this worry me? No. You know what I think when that happens? What's going on in his life that makes him that way? You know, and not because I'm trying to judge him like, wow, what a jerk, but seriously, is he scared? Maybe he's hurt. You know, because a lot of times we don't realize those things come out in our speech and the way we are. And we want to be in control just because we don't feel like we're in control. But when we understand that we don't have to be in control, that's when everything is good. We understand God has a perfect purpose for our lives. Perfect. We might not see it, and it might hurt like anything. But He has a purpose in it. You know, as they say, hindsight's 20/20. Ever go through something, anybody here, and thought you'd never get through it, and you came out better than you were? You know, praise God for that. Praise God. You know, if you're praying for someone in your life that maybe turned away from God, or your kids, God loves them more than you do. We forget that. We think, oh, well, you know, God must not care. No, he's reaching out. You don't even have to pray, but you should be, because he has a greater love in his heart for those children than you do. He has such a great plan. I'm going to end with 3 points here. Wisdom. To be wise in biblical terms is to know and understand godliness, to do what is pleasing to God. Hebrews 5:14, but solid food is for the mature, for those whose senses have been trained to distinguish between good and evil. That's what wisdom is. Wisdom helps you to say the right thing, and wisdom will tell you when to be quiet and not give your opinion. Because sometimes no matter what you say will not help. But if you're just there and care for people, what I've learned as a pastor, when you go to visit somebody that's hurting in the hospital, you don't go, hey, I have a word for you. Can I? Guy's wife is in the other room. We're not sure if she's going to make it. You don't do that. You know what I mean? That's almost rude. Because what happens is when people are in that area, they go into shock. Literally everything is just, it just blows their mind. And then they turn to anger. Why did this happen? And you have to let people go through those emotions because it's just a part of the nature. But when you can just be there and just care for them, you don't have to have the answer, but you show them, hey, I'm just here. I'm just here with you. You don't have to do anything more than that. And then at the end, if you need to, then you can, hey, do you mind? Can I pray for you? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That's the key to it, is to care for people, but not to make it our thing. Because I think things like that you learn is because of the wisdom of God, and that's what we want. We want God's wisdom. We want to see beyond what we know and understand. Ask God. Very important. God is the source of wisdom. He grants it to those who sincerely seek it from him. Again, understanding that you can't do it on your own. Neither can I. I cannot make anything happen, no matter how hard I try. Now, I can manipulate and do things, and all of us can. But is that God? No. That's just us doing our thing, trying to make it happen because that's what I want. Well, we've lost purpose now. We've lost purpose. When you ask God, the first thing to understand that to ask God, you have to humble yourself. You know, when you humble yourself, you understand that God is in control. God, I can't make this change. I don't know what you're doing. I don't understand it, but help me. Nothing fancy. Just a sincere relationship. God, help me. That's all you need to say. God, help me. I don't know what I'm doing. Get me through this. Doesn't have to be fancy. It's an understanding that he's in control. And that was the second point. The third one is double-minded man. This rare expression was possibly coined by James. It suggests a man who has two souls. He is unstable as a person with a split personality. That's what happens in our lives when we don't know how to trust God. We can pray, I'm going to pray, but let me do this. If God ordains it, that's one thing. But if you're trying to do it on your own, because you've always had the knowledge and the wisdom, I know how to bring people peace. No, you really don't. You might be good and God's giving you a gift, but what happens is when you take it upon yourself, and it becomes your gift, my gift, what I can do. Suddenly, it comes out of God's hands. And we're going to be unstable in everything we do. And see, that's the key today, is to know that we can trust God. I don't know who this is for. I know it's for me today. But take it to heart. If we need wisdom, we got to turn to God. If we need peace, we have to turn to God. If we need help, we have to turn to God. It's the only way it's going to happen. And it's very easy to think, oh, this is too simple. If it were, everybody would do it. Everybody would turn to Christ and have it all together. But sometimes God has to let us do what we need to do to bring us to another place. He has an understanding. I don't know what it is. But I know there's times now where I do understand when things are too tough, when some guy's yelling at me across the desk and I have no control. I can smile back at him. And I did. It didn't bother me. You know what? You say what you want. Man, I'm going on to the next job and I'm going to be okay. I have a job. You know what I'm saying? You got to think of those things. God gives you the heart to say, is this the worst thing that can happen? No. No, but we can trust him. And that's the key, is trusting him and understanding he has a better plan. Sue, can you play? He has a better plan for us. And that's the key to it, is knowing that God, even in his testing, has a plan for us. He gives us that wisdom. He gives us those desires. You can't know everything. You cannot. I the more I study, the realize the more I don't know. I really do. I get into something, suddenly realize, wow, there's like 12 facets of this that you could learn in 3 lifetimes. So what do? Take what God gives you. Don't get all freaked out about it. One area might be your gift and your strength and understanding. If everyone would bow your head, close your eyes. First of all, if anybody needs Christ, you need him in your life. I know most of you probably know him, but we don't ever want to take the time and leave that out, because that would be a sin. Give people an understanding. If you need Christ in your heart, just raise your hand. Let me know and we'll pray together. Raise your hand, Lord God. Father, I ask that you help us today. Help us to turn our lives to you, to have a better understanding of who you are, so that we don't trust in what we can do, but in what you can do. Let us listen to your Holy Spirit and the nudges that you have in our lives, Lord God. Help us to have a deeper and better understanding of you in our lives. Help us to trust you, to lean not on our own understanding, Lord God. And bless this church, Lord God. Bless them in a great, mighty way. Let them, Lord, grow in such a great way, Father God, that it'll just be wonderful to see the things you're doing. We might not see it right now, Lord God, but we know you have a great plan for this church, Lord. Bless them and watch over everyone here. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'm going to take a little time. If you need prayer, please come on up. I need my prayer partner, Dewey, to come up, because I can't do it on my own. Where 2 or 3 are gathered, we trust and we look to God. If you need prayer, come on up, okay? We want to pray for you.